Sometimes it takes a movie so that we can laugh at ourselves. And I found for me, Mel Brooks made a lot of movies where we can laugh at ourselves. And one of my favorites is Blazing Saddles. And one of my favorite characters in Blazing Saddles is Mongo, because I feel like Mongo about every day. And he had a quote that I just remember. Mongo, but pawn in game of life. Christmas lights. I love Christmas lights. They're great. Isaiah, a people walking in darkness, has seen a great light. I put them up everywhere. And you know, it's a part of our character. Here, the dark of winter, and there's this bravado of human spirit being drawn to God. Before there was a Christmas, there was a feast of Saturn that realized, hey, the days are starting to get longer again. And then there was Hanukkah with the Jews, where the oil mysteriously continued to burn in the temple when they couldn't reinforce themselves. But my Mongo moment was when the parish priest, long ago and far from here, just said, we were getting our lights up too early, and our festivities started too soon. Well, we have a short amount of time before the festivities need to start. Another Mongo moment, it seems for me, is we seem to be pretty mum about Mary, save for her feast days. We kind of put her in a corner, and on her feast days, we wear white trimmed with blue. But this is the fourth time I've read this gospel during Advent. And I'll tell you, Christmas Eve, we all know this with kids, we all know it ourselves. It's a very pregnant moment on many levels. And Advent has the attributes of pregnancy, anticipation, waiting, and hope. A place where my whole diaconate class had our Mongo moments was at the seminary, whenever they started to talk about some deep theological truths. And I think the instructors just saw our eyes start to glaze over. And they just said, just talk about Joseph, Mary, and the baby Jesus, and you're going to be okay. But I think the incarnation is one of those deep, wonderful truths. And that's what the gospel is about today. The Word made flesh, the moment of incarnation. The Christ child, we intuitively understand. And that's what the instructors were telling us. Our hearts open up to love through a baby. Mary was the God carrier. There's thinking of my wife. There is nothing more personal than carrying a child to term. Mary had an intense personal relationship with God. With Eve in the Garden of Eden, we lost that relationship. We lost the ability to grasp the absolute good. We weren't God's friends until Christ came. We did know the effects of good from evil. And another movie helped to find that in my mind a little bit better. It's called The Shack. It had a great book. I think for a lot of us, we define good and evil in relative terms. What is good is something that helps me and those I love. And what's evil is what hurts me and those that I love. But if we only think about things in relative terms, and we talk about billions of people, where my good could be their evil, and their good could be my evil, there's conflicts. And we're not the ones to judge. We would have judged Mary wrong. This angel coming what happened here. She must have sinned against the community. What Mary did, she obeyed God's will. She could grasp and did grasp what the absolute good was. Mary chose to conform to the absolute good, and we should seek that. I know we don't like terms like obedience. I don't like terms like obedience. I like terms like freedom. But instead of obedience, I'd like you to think of the word trust. Obedience is hard. It's like Ginger Rogers. She did everything that Fred Astaire did, only backwards and in heels. But trust is terrifying. I'm going to go to another movie so we could think about trust. And that movie is Dirty Dancing. Remember when Patrick Swayze said, "Nobody puts baby in a corner"? And then baby runs up and does that incredible leap. Patrick Swayze catches her. That's what trust is. Trust, like Mary taking this leap with the angel coming, trust is terrifying, and it's beautiful, and it's wonderful. And that's what true freedom is. We understand trust in a mother's love. That's how we came to be. Motherhood has terrifying leaps into God's hands. Take the manger scene and what came before it. There's a teenage girl there. There were kings coming up to bow before her and the child. Terrifying, beautiful, huge leap. And if we go forward to the cross, even the centurions and the Roman guards showed respect to Mary. We do too. We respect a mother's love for someone in jail, for a convict. We treat that mother with incredible kindness and incredible respect. Mary is an inspiration to many of her daughters and sisters. There's two immediate ones that are going on in my life. That's with my daughter Megan. Improbable pregnancy, high risk. It's calling the child right now Isaac, which just means laughter. And if you read scripture, you'd have every idea of why. This is just impossible. But Mary is with her like Mary went to Elizabeth. And then my nephew Tommy, a sister, a mother's love. My sister Margaret has not left his side. He has an aortic aneurysm that had surgery and has been finding complications for 2 weeks. Mary is with her, an advocate in front of God. Mary was not alone at the cross. She had many daughters and sisters there with her. Advent is a season of hope and Mary. We're on a journey. We are and will continue to be an Advent people going toward salvation. This is what Pope Francis said about the readings today. The journey is never finished. Just as in each of our own lives, there is always a need to restart, to rise again, to recover a sense of the goal of one's own existence. Mary serves as a model of this spiritual attitude, to this way of being and journeying in life. Although she was just a simple girl, she carried in her heart the hope of God. In her womb, the hope of God made flesh, became man, and made history, Jesus Christ. Mary's song of praise is the canticle of the people of God on the journey, and of all men and women who hope in God, in the power of his mercy. Let us be guided by her, she who is mother. She is a mama and knows how to lead us. Let us be guided by her in this time of waiting and active vigilance. We have symbols of Mary all about us. I see, and it's proper, that we have many saints' shirts out there, and they have a fleur-de-lis on it. Fleur-de-lis is a symbol of the saints, symbol of New Orleans, symbol of French kings, and originally and still to this day, a symbol of Mary. It's a combination of a lily, which is Mary for purity, and a rose for love. I had one of those Mongo moments last Sunday. I do cathedral duty. I volunteer for when no other deacon will go. I'll have it New Year's Eve again. And the outgoing senior deacon said, if you have Bishop Gregory, you will not wear a rose. Remember last week it was the rose vestment? He'll wear purple. But we didn't have Archbishop Gregory. We had Archbishop Hughes. So the senior deacon wasn't sure, the one coming on. And so by an intermediary, he went over, asked Archbishop Hughes, I suggest that we wear rose. And the archbishop, through the intermediary, comes back and says, the archbishop suggests that we wear purple. Mongo moment. Of course we wore purple. Well, I'm colorblind. I like to refer to myself as color challenged because at least I guess pretty good on the colors. But I'm told that if you combine rose, that love of Mary, with blue, you get kind of a purple. So perhaps for every day during Advent, which is ending in a few hours, we're really wearing a color of Mary.